Hi. Welcome to On the Fly with Mike and Ty, episode one.
Man, inaugural episode. Let's go.
Inaugural episode. You and I bantered back and forth enough. We thought, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do this weekly so everyone can laugh at us.
And they will, especially me.
I mean, you know what the second option was for a name of our show, right?
Wouldn't it be like Doom Patrol or
Doomsday with Mike and Ty?
Doom, Prophets of Doom.
Did
you read that comment on our last one where we were talking about Fanatics? And he's like, I know where to go when I want to get my negative hobby news. I'm going to Bench Clear Media. It's like, thanks.
Did you see what I said below him?
Yes.
But yet here you are every single time watching our stuff.
Yep. That's okay.
It's okay. We're not going to be as negative. We're not negative. What are we talking about? Why do we fall into that trap? We're not negative. I don't care what people say.
I don't care what people say. We're not. We want the hobby to do well.
Jeez, that was a little hot. Yeah, we do. And our view of life is positive.
I know where I'm going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we have six subcategories that we're going to run through with our weekly show. I'm not going to tell you how we're going to do the order here. We're going to go through and have some fun.
Well, the idea for people is that we do kind of the same topics every week. So you can come back every week and, you know, topics that are going on in the hobby, kind of some themes that we do every week. But man, what'd you do this weekend though, before we jump into our stuff? What'd you do?
What did I do? I went and played
people
disc care. Golf.
People want to know what Ty did this weekend.
I took the boys out. We went and disc golfing. I committed to my wife that I would clean the garage out on Saturday. And we, all eight of us, spent about 5 hours cleaning out our garage.
That's a healthy day of cleaning.
It was a lot. Unfortunately, a lot of it was cards and me organizing cards and all that junk.
Because you just bought a big collection.
Bought three big collections.
Yeah. That's a topic for another video.
That is a topic for another video. I've had some really interesting stories from that. If you want to hear more about that, put a comment in the show notes below and we'll do a video on it. I felt like my life was threatened twice in the last 2 weeks. I'll leave it at that.
You and I are, you know, talking, texting back and forth or talking about these collections that you're buying. First of all, I love that you even give a rat's butt what my opinion is about it, but it's fun to live through you doing this. Like, it's very cool, by the way, that you're doing a lot of this.
I've fallen in love with vintage because of you and because of this. I truly have.
It's cool, isn't it?
Very cool.
That's what all the cool kids do, is buy vintage. But so Julie and I went out to the ranch this week. I know you didn't ask me what I did this weekend, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Uh-huh.
Went out to the ranch, and on Friday night, we were going out to go fishing at our pond. And we drive by our hog trap. Sure enough, there's hogs in there. So you know what that means. We just
pull out your bone arrow.
Pull out. No, not quite. No, we took care of that problem and then went fishing. But that's never like, because it's not that it's hard. It's just like kind of disgusting, just to be honest. But we had a great time out there. And then I came home, and on Sunday, Frank, who's Hall of Fame Autographs, I did a video with him. He came to the house.
CPA.
The CPA, our CPA, our resident Bench Clear Media CPA genius, mm-hmm. who we're going to do another episode of that, by the way, coming up in November. We're going to try to do that. Yep. Anyway, Frank came over. We had a great time going through stuff. He loves autographs like I do, you know, Hall of Fame autographs, old stuff. He knows guys' names that I don't even know. You know, it's great to have him here because he was able to give me a lot of perspective, and it's something he appreciates it in a different way, if that makes any sense. When somebody knows stuff, sees it, it changes, and it, you know, you always feel cool. You want people to like your stuff. I mean, you've worked hard to accumulate it or buy it or acquire it or whatever.
Absolutely.
And you, it's good. It feels good to have people like it also and appreciate it. And then we went to the last game of the season for the Rangers. They were playing the Cleveland Guardians.
Ooh, okay.
Who is, yeah,
right.
And technically now they are the Cleveland Guardians. Yesterday they were the Cleveland Indians until the last out of the ninth inning, and then they became the Cleveland Guardians starting next season. So that's it was a nice game. Other than the Rangers lost, but not shocking. So
not shocking. Not shocking. No. You ever watch, well, you've obviously watched Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm assuming.
Of course.
Well, every time I hear the new name Guardians, I think of that movie, Legends of the Guardian. I don't know if you ever watched it. It was like this kid movie. Here it is on Wikipedia.
Okay.
it kills me. It's the worst name ever. So I'm still angry about it.
Yeah. Spiders would have been great because they used to be the Cleveland Spiders. That'd have been kind of cool and different. God, the Cleveland Naps. They could have gone a whole lot of directions with that.
Yep.
Not a fan of the Cleveland Guardians name choice, but
not a fan. Not a fan.
Whatever.
On that note, okay. So our first topic for today is our what the heck moment of the week.
Okay.
Okay. And some of these you haven't prepared for, some of them I have, and that's okay.
That's fair.
So are one of those moments that makes you stop and go, seriously? That just happened? And I'll reference a post from Ivan, Watch the Breaks on Twitter, very popular. He retweeted a picture of a guy who listed some of his recent cards. And here's one of the photos. This is one of many from this guy that are very, very much in similar vein. This is how he takes the pictures. He turns the card, flips it. You see all his whole room. He's got a cigarette in his room every picture. I laughed so hard when I saw these pictures.
He's showing us how thin it is, apparently.
Every angle. He's got like eight of each picture, and it's just the hobby brings out the best in people. I'll just say that.
Okay.
You have an moment?
No, you got to have them. I didn't know we were supposed to come up with moments of the week. I would have
totally new segment I threw on like 5 minutes before we jumped in. So,
well, all right. Keep going with them. If you have a couple more,
I just got one. That was one of those, like, you won't forget. You want to say hi real quick? Who popped in for the show? Hi.
Hi.
That's Amira.
Hi, Amira. Do you like sports cards? You could be like some of the, you know, as much about them as some of the people in Vegas that we interviewed.
That's true. Should you buy sports cards right now? Yes.
Yes.
There we go. She balances out our prophet of doom.
All right. Look it. She's the prophet of optimism.
Optimistic. Okay. Sports performances of the week. Which performance stood out to you?
So we're going to do this every week. And what's great is we've got multiple sports to choose from at this time of year. It's ironic. We got baseball, yes. Football's going on quarter of the way through the NFL season. And man, Mr. Diggs for the Dallas Cowboys is picking off passes like it's unbelievable. He's got 5 interceptions in 4 games. Yesterday, yeah, 2 interceptions. It was fantastic. But the Cowboys running game is just going to hurt people. And that my sports performance of the week is the Dallas Cowboys offensive line, which was not supposed to be that good this year. But maybe I guess when you have Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard running behind you, you look really good, really fast, but man, they are killing it.
Well, that's not very sexy, picking the offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys in your own home city. You pick the offensive line. This is going really well.
Why? Well, here's my question. And this is what I don't understand about football cards and the football sports card hobby. It's so quarterback driven, right? And if it's not a quarterback, why even bother putting it in the product? And that's sad to me. Like, there's some great wide receivers. You've got great running backs. You've got all-time great, linebackers and safeties. And their cards have no love, zero love. Why is that so much that way?
Because they get hurt a lot, for one.
Okay.
And because you don't even look for them in a box score. You don't care about them. they're not the face of franchises. They're not. Well, so I shouldn't say they're not high draft picks because some of them are high draft picks. That's the funny thing.
Well, I look to see what Amonch was he targeted, how many catches, and maybe it's more, fantasy. You know, football is such a huge fantasy sport, right? Mm. And most people know players on other teams because they're on their fantasy team. They drafted them, or they've had them on their team for years, or had them a while ago, or whatever. But it doesn't translate to hobby popularity at all.
Very much so. It is what it is.
It is fine. Just interesting.
Very much, yeah. It's. I feel like it's the one sport where there's so many positions that just aren't relevant. You know, you don't have that. I mean, you could obviously run the numbers, and we have before. Centers are less popular in basketball. Guards are the most popular. Shortstops are probably the most popular in baseball. You know, there's irrelevant positions in football.
But it's so funny. Irrelevant in the hobby, but not irrelevant to the game, right? And there's so much difference. And we talk about this in about baseball all the time, is sports good and hobby good are two very, very different things, right? Mm. So Ty, what was your sports performance of the week?
Well, I could default to the 5 TD performance by Patrick Mahomes. That would be too easy. I won't pick that. I'm going to pick a certain play.
Okay.
Did you see Urshela's catch for the Yankees? That Derek Jeter, like, into the dugout running play, game 162.
It's going to be a long run. Oh, what a play! And he goes into the dugout. Did he hold on? Yes, he did. Oh, what a play!
I got to see if he's okay.
Urshela without any regard.
I mean, that first off, the game was incredible. The whole weekend was incredible for baseball. But that catch, unreal.
Yeah, I mean, what, 0-0, walk into the ninth, Judge walks it off with a infield single, essentially.
Right.
Crazy. That's not what I would have thought Judge would do to walk it off, was an infield single, right?
For sure.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for baseball and so many teams in it. You had a possibility that you could have a four-way tie for the wild card in the American League. I mean,
and we end with no tie.
And you end with no tie. But I'm looking forward to the playoffs this year. There's some really good teams. But the Dodgers are going to win.
Let's show the bracket real quick. So you're looking at this. What stands out to you? So let's do two things. One, who do you think is in the World Series? And two, which team winning the World Series would be the best for the hobby?
Ooh, Dodgers, Astros. Ooh. And the best for the hobby would be the Dodgers winning. They are loaded, you know.
They're loaded.
Absolutely loaded. I mean, the fact that they won 106 games and are a wild card? And the Giants happened to win 107, you know, which nobody saw coming. Nobody saw that coming. And so I think it's going to be Dodgers, Astro. And I hate saying that the Astros, I think, are going to be in the World Series. I just think that they have an easier path. What do you think?
I think White Sox are a gimme in the AL.
Interesting.
Yeah. I just think that offense is just, they got a nice rhythm right now. I don't see how they get stopped.
Lynn and Giolito at the top of their rotation, so not too bad.
Yeah. And I'm going to go with the Brewers in the NL. That's okay. I think it's going to be Sox Brewers, not exactly what the MLB wants.
Right.
But, yeah. I will say, like, credit to the Braves. Ronald Acuna goes down, and what do? They just win more games.
Right.
Good for them.
The Cardinals, you know, just – winning so many games in a row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Excited to watch Wander Franco.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. You look at like some decent rookies. You got Madrigal for the Sox, Franco for Tampa Bay, Rosarena for Tampa Bay, Joey Bart for the Giants. You probably won't see the field as much. Dylan Carlson for the Cardinals. I mean, there's some good names. It's very rare to see that.
Yeah. And it's going to go by so fast because the wild cards are tomorrow and Wednesday. and you're right into the division series. I mean, the pace of it, you know, goes so fast. Back when the Rangers were actually in the playoffs, which is a distant memory now, but I used to literally plan my whole life around when the games were and to be available. And
yeah,
oh my gosh, so glad. I'm not glad I don't get to do that right now. I wish I was doing that, but
great time of the year. You got NBA around the corner. Preseason starts tonight. I mean, everything's going right now. Hard to complain.
Hockey's going. I mean, this is pretty great. It's a great time of year. You're right. For the next month, we get everything, right? Yeah. Then baseball will drop off, but we'll have the other three major sports rolling. That'll be great. It's good. It's a great time of year to be a sports fan.
It is. All right. Expensive cards for the week. So I took for the last week, the 10 most expensive PSA cards.
Okay.
That have sold on eBay. There you go. Tell me what you think about this.
All right, let's look. Let's take a look.
Yeah, you got LeBron James ticket stub going for $42,000.
Okay.
Number two is a surprising one, obviously. LaMelo Ball PSA 9 card. Actually, the top two are PSA 9s. Then you got a PSA 5 mantle.
Oh, who has one of those?
Yours is a 5?
It is.
Ah.
But that's nice. Down huge. It was up. It was selling for $50,000 to $60,000.
Wow.
No kidding. That's a whole nother video for me to do, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mahomes at number four with his optic purple prism. LeBron tops chrome rookie refractor. It's a sweet card. PSA 9 is going for $30,000. Doncic makes number six.
I'm looking at that Ruth at number seven. That's crazy to me. Crazy.
Is that too expensive? What's crazy about it?
I just one of three.
So talk to me about that card. It's a 62 tops, number 139.
Yeah, there's a subset within 62 tops, kind of the Beirut story, and it's got, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 cards of Babe Ruth throughout his Babe as a kid, Babe with Lou Gehrig, you know, Babe as a coach for the Dodgers. And, you know, they're just kind of telling the Babe Ruth story for $30,000. That, I mean, I don't know.
PSA 8 is pretty legit for 62 though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Soto update gold refractor auto getting a little bump because it's numbered 1 of 50, but still $28,000. Lou Gehrig signed mini bat coming in at number 9. And then Tom Brady,
who lost or won last night, barely.
Mm-hmm. SP Authentic.
Or yeah, last night. It was Sunday Night Football. Yeah.
Which of those cards would you take? Or let's say you have the money to buy one of those 10 cards. Which one do you buy?
Ooh, the Soto.
For $28,000, you would spend that.
You said if I had the money.
Right. I mean, but
I wouldn't buy any of these. If I had $28,000, I'd go buy a bunch of other stuff, but or whatever. If I had any of this, none of these cards are attractive to me for my collection. But if I had to choose one of these 10, I would choose the Soto. You?
You know, I'd probably go with the LeBron.
Yeah.
The refractor rookie's tough. It's tough to get a 9. Extremely tough to get a 10. That's the one that looks the most lucrative to me. But
I thought you said you were into vintage now. You wouldn't take the Mantle rookie?
Not for 34, not when you drop 50%. And I know what you got of that too. So it's like.
Well, at 34, I'm still doing pretty good. But
yeah, very true. No, exactly. I tell you what, though, LaMelo Ball would not even be, that would be so far down the list.
Right. That would be probably the last card I would take here.
Mm. Agreed. So there you go. Expensive cards of the week. Release of the week. Okay. Hobby's doing okay. Release of the week. Not a heavy week by any stretch of the imagination. There really wasn't a lot of products to choose from. What release are you interested in? Well,
luckily, I felt like, okay, this is our first episode. So we didn't have an episode last week. So
here we go.
I'm going to kind of cheat. And on October 1st, they released Topps Gold Label. Which is kind of one of those products for me that just They had it when I was a kid or young man, I guess, probably not as a kid.
But, you were born a young man.
Well, I was born an old man with a face for radio, but I always saw a Topps Gold label. I think it's simple. They usually keep it pretty similar year to year, which is not a problem. Like, I don't mind if products, like, they want them all to be different and, oh, what are they doing next year? Like, Ginter could be the same design every year with minor tweaks, which it is. Oh, by the way, That's totally fine with me. I like that consistency in a product.
Well, here's what it's going for right now on Blowout, which is when you see those prices, you're like, you know what? It's not that bad. 16 box case, $2,000, $127 a box. That actually seems like we're back in 2016.
We're getting there.
Wow. You look at my pick for the week, release of the week. Origins Football. $600 for a hobby box.
Gosh.
For artistic cards. I mean, they're cool cards. You're looking at $10,000 for a hobby case?
Is that Trey Lance on the cover? He's a cover boy already.
Well, couldn't have worked out better for him this week.
Wow. Okay.
I'd take the gold label all day, but since you cheated, it doesn't really count.
Next week we'll have some good stuff though.
Yes,
I looked ahead on the calendar. I'm excited. There's some things.
Absolutely. All right. Hobby news. We got a few pieces of news that have come out this week, and you and I will obviously break down this the best we can. Let me start with one that I thought was interesting, and you care about it. PSA grading. PSA graded more cards in September than any month in company's history. Thoughts?
Not surprising. I track this through a guy that does a weekly video update of how many cards PSA is grading. And not surprising at all. What does it say about, the data was compiled by Gemrate. I gotcha.
Yes. This is off Sports Collectors Daily. So go check them out.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised. And I think at this rate, they may open up grading sometime in 2027, you know, we'll see. What are your thoughts? That was a joke, by the way, of course.
Yeah, it's great. Great joke. So I'll tell you what, let me go to the article here and we'll talk about it a little bit more in depth, because it's what's intriguing to me is seeing when they break down what's actually happening. So if you look at the different, I guess, brands and players being graded, it's fascinating to me how many. I mean, Jordan was the number one player, but Zion's, I mean, it's blowing my mind the amount of times people continue to grade this stuff. And I get it. It was, everyone was rushing to the, you know, before the exits. So when you look at those numbers, it's like, okay, now it's a little bit more scary. So here's tell me when you see that. So they graded 830,000, right? And you look at the numbers here, and it's like PSA graded 35,000 Prism cards, basketball cards. Population at 460,000 1920 basketball Prisms.
Wow.
What the heck? A half a million?
That's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy. Chronicles at 2028, Mosaic at 21.4, Optic 14.3. And you go down here, graders also reviewed large numbers of 2020 Topps and Topps Chrome. Most graded baseball card September was Luis Roberts. Over 2,700 moved to shipment. He's got almost 25,000.
If you think about it, that makes total sense, because they're now getting to cards submitted last, essentially September, October, November.
Yeah.
Which is when Kyle Lewis won, you know, Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
You had Robert. Okay, this guy might be pretty good. And yep. So all just the, and think of how many more thousands and thousands are still sitting there waiting to be graded that were submitted in January and February and March pre-shutdown, right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What about this? So I'm sharing my screen again. I'll just show you the article. This impacts the hobby as well in a lot of ways. And I think some people don't even know this is happening, but on October 1st, U.S. Post Office changed their delivery time windows. So now first class, which was usually 1 to 3 days, they've added 2 days to delivery time on first class mail. Not only did prices go up a month ago, now they're saying it's going to take longer. And the reason for this, and this is an article from Yahoo News, you can see, is that they're trying to push people to more of the premium options, Priority and Express.
Interesting.
So note to self, right? When you're shipping and buying, it's going to take longer.
Well, it was taking that long anyway, right? It's just now they're just telling you that it's going to take that long instead of it you being surprised. But that's not, you know, normally you buy a card, you're waiting a week to 10 days anyway.
Yeah.
So you
seem unaffected by the news.
I seem unaffected. That would be a true assessment of my feelings towards that. But
okay. All right.
You get the card when you get the card. You know, I don't really.
Yeah.
I'm not a flipper, yeah. Right? I'm just, if I was trying to get it because somebody had a breakout game or whatever and trying to flip it. But that's okay. People will just start selling cards now before they even get them back in the mail.
You know that's going to happen. It'll mean more when you get to the holiday season and you need those cards quicker, maybe for gifts. But okay. just food for thought. That's a very impactful piece of news. Okay. What about you? What else we got going? What's some other important news?
Well, I was thinking about the whole Fanatics thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw an article that I know is kind of dated news,
yep.
But the potential of Fanatics to launch an IPO, when I read that, it's like I missed it the first time around, and it hit more now since we've kind of done some videos about it. It makes so much more sense about why they're doing their business, why they're wanting to say they're going to own everything and do all this stuff. If they're going to have an IPO in the next 12 months, let's say, wouldn't surprise me. And they're just trying to do everything in the eye of the public to raise their value for a potential IPO. Companies do it all the time. Fanatics isn't alone in this, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just, it affects us more in the hobby because we see all that stuff, but companies across all industries do this. They overhype pre-IPO to get interest and, you know, spark interest in buying their stock.
Mm.
It's classic play, totally classic. And I'm like going, I get it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I guess an interesting note around that is I saw last week that they received an additional $400 million in, is that probably Series A funding? One of the series funding specifically because of the sports card news. So they got more funding for the IPO because of sports cards.
Of course, it would raise their value. That would make sense.
Right, right. And there was a quote from one of the investors that basically said, yeah, everyone thinks we're overpaying now. Wait to see what they think 10 years from now. Okay. Which brings up a good point. And we don't want to go down this road too much because you've done other videos on this, but there was a comment today on our Fanatics video that we did last week. And he made a point that what people don't talk about enough is what happens if two years from now, the market's dipped another 50 to 100%. What are we saying about all this Fanatics numbers then? Like, is everyone like, oh my gosh, you screwed up? Or do we even care?
Yes, people would be saying that. I don't know that they'd be right in terms of the company valuation. Like, that doesn't mean they're not going to, they're selling new sports cards. They could care less what the secondary market's doing.
There you go.
Right. And to that point, as much as I hate, we are on record of saying, as what we know now, what it looks like Fanatics going to be is not attractive to me as a hobbyist.
Yeah.
But me as a guy who likes to make money on investments, if you said, Mike, you can put in 25 grand or some amount and buy in on the back, you know, the before IPO side of Fanatics, I would do it. I'd write the check right now and be ready to go. Because that's, to me, and people are going to think this is talking out of both sides of my mouth. It's not. You can, It's because people want, well, we need to stand up for what we believe. If you really believe that about Fanatics, why would you ever put money in them? Because I like making money. Period. And so the idea would be I would invest in the company and probably not ever buy a product that they come out with. But I don't know yet. I mean, none of us know what this is going to look like. It looks like things are not heading in a great direction that sound fun to us. But would you do it right now if they offered you a slot pre-IPO?
I would.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah.
Does that make us sound like hypocrites?
So some people, I'm sure it does. So I've told people many times, I'm not into NFTs. I don't get it. I don't understand the infatuation with it. I don't want anything to do with it. I really don't. But I don't believe that there's an explosion. I mean, I don't disbelieve there's an explosion in NFTs. The best way for me to play that is to buy the cryptocurrency they all use to trade them, Ethereum. So yes, I don't want to trade NFTs, but I'm buying Ethereum because I believe in the potential profits and the platform they're using. So that's my way of trading NFTs without buying into the hype.
Just so we're clear, this is not meant to be construed as investment advice or anything like that.
Yeah, 100%. Don't ever listen to us. Yeah. Tangent on the fly with Mike and Ty. That's what we're all about.
That's why we just go off in different directions. What else we got?
Well, those are the three key pieces of news for the week.
Okay.
Let's wrap it up with our goals for the week. What's your hobby goal? What's your personal goal? What's going on?
Hobby goal. Keep saving up money for the Dallas Card Show. I'm having a hard time finding things that fit what I want at the price levels that I want. So I'm being incredibly patient. There's lots of stuff on my watch list and I just go, you know, just not ready to do that yet. I'm really holding back. I'm being very patient and that's very normal for me actually.
Yeah.
But what about you?
What's the card that you want most right now? Is there a card you got in your radar?
There's several. Like when I go to the Dallas show, I'm really going to be hunting for a 54 Bowman Ted Williams.
Okay.
And I'm still looking for a 48 Leaf Stan Musial. So, I mean, they're big cards. You know, they're multiple comma cards. Like, not five-digit cards, but they're definitely bigger cards. And I can't just buy those every day of the week.
And well, if they're four-digit cards, it's only one comma, just so you know.
That's what I'm saying. It's in multiple commas, meaning multiple thousands, like
$2,000, $3,000, $4,000.
But again, I don't get to buy those all the time. I wish I could. I wish I was Nat Turner and could buy those kind of cards all the time.
Okay.
Some good what about ones, you?
A couple things come to mind. One, I do want to get a video together for some of the stuff I've been able to put together in collections that I've purchased. Kind of obscure things that I've been able to do that have popped up. Want to walk through some of the vintage stuff. And I don't know if, would you consider mid to late 70s vintage? I would. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then so I'm going to do that for sure. I'm working on trying to put together some George Brett stuff. I think the boys and I might try to grab the Topps card, rookie all the way to his retirement of George Brett.
Love it. Love it. That's right up my alley, man.
I know it is.
Totally love that. I'm excited.
I know it is. Something else is up your alley. And I cannot recommend this enough. I've been listening to the audiobook of The Glory of Their Times by Lawrence Ritter. The story of the early days of baseball told by the men who played it. Now there's a, you can read the book or you can listen to the audiobook. Audiobook actually includes the audio recordings of him interviewing these players for the book in each chapter. I have never been so fascinated by an audiobook in my life. So good.
I just got the book. For some reason, I never bought it. You know, it's been out for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think I got some encouragements from some other people and I finally bought it. I got it on, was it eBay? Yeah, $4 on eBay, shipped, like, sure. And it came in, I got it. And I was like, there's no way I'm getting this book. That's too cheap. And I got it. And I'm super excited to start diving into it. But the audio, where can you get it on audio? Just anywhere?
I just grab it from audible.com, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a 4.5 hour book, but just hearing some of those players talk and you get the banter that you don't get in the book.
Right.
It's just, man, I have so much more respect for basically the pre-depression era of baseball where the players weren't like heroes. They tell stories of walking into restaurants and being put into the corner or like not getting a hotel room and having to sleep in train stations. They just weren't viewed like they're viewed today. And it just, that's how the game was founded. I had so much more respect for the game of baseball because of that.
That's awesome. Did that help spark kind of this newfound, you know, adulation for vintage?
No, actually, funny enough, I was talking to a guy about his collection, and it was a basketball vintage collection. And I love some of the cards that he had. And I got to telling him stories of these cards that I knew. I didn't get the collection because he ended up leaving saying, "You actually sparked in me a renewed interest in these cards." And it brought me back to the time, me being a kid collecting.
That's good and bad, right?
It's good and bad. And I'd rather do the right thing and just be authentic with people. But it got me thinking, I don't know that type of history with baseball. I need to learn it. And so I got recommended that book. And here we are.
That's fantastic. I got a few more for you when you're done with that one.
Okay. But
that is awesome.
Yeah.
You got all right. Do you have a Breaker Culture episode coming out this week?
To be determined. I got some family in town this week.
I'm going to do an episode for Golden Age of Cardboard with Eric, those back pages, and Andy. She blinded me with refractors. We're going to talk about kind of what's the state of the grading world, especially in PSA and what you just showed, you know, PSA grading all these cards, but it's still part of the backlog, right? I mean, they're not getting a whole lot of new cards at the price level. What glut has it created in the last 6 months?
Yep.
Especially in the vintage market. It's really drying up the vintage market because nobody's sending in stuff anymore because it's too expensive. Doesn't make any sense to send in an 84 tops Ricky Henderson. You know, you're not going to make any, there's no point. It's a $5 card.
And it has to get a 10. If it doesn't get a 10, there's...
And even then you'll probably lose money. So my point is there's all these cards in this, I don't want to give away the whole episode. I would just do it right now. But there's a lot of stuff being sucked out of and there's more people coming to the hobby. So there's more demand. So everything's there's a fixed supply essentially. Right. So
that's good.
It's an interesting topic we're going to talk about. And then I'm starting a series next week. I'm really excited about, but I'll talk about that next week on the fly.
Look at you dangling that carrot. Go check out Behind the Numbers, Tyson Banker's football show. He puts a lot of work into it. Can't encourage you to do that enough. And then, of course, we have another episode of The Pull coming out this week.
Nice.
The Pull.
Favorite series on YouTube, period.
Absolutely. With that said, I can't close without talking about our sponsor.
Well, go ahead.
Card Edge. So when I've been piecing together collections and trying to decide what to buy, or I'll go sit down with somebody, I'm pulling up Card Hedge now and I'm typing in the cards and putting in my projected grade. And then I'm having a portfolio that I know exactly, like if these hit the grades that I think they're going to hit, it's worth this much to me. I didn't have that in the past. Card Hedge, we've had them as a sponsor for about a month. Click the link to go get a 7-day trial. A very awesome platform for saying, okay, I think this is going to get an SGC 7 or a PSA 8 if I send it there. What's the immediate value? And they spit it out and I can look at my portfolio value, what I purchased it at, what it's projected at right now in seconds. I'm digging it, man.
I love it. And it's cool that we have a resource in the hobby that you can do that with. And thank you, Card Hedge, for that. Are you, when you're looking at these cards and these collections, going, that's PSA worthy, or are you going to be doing a lot of SGC stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm going to do more SGC stuff than I ever thought I would. If it's over $1,000 to me, I go PSA 100%, even at $150. That's my cutoff.
That's good that you have a method to the madness, but how, we had SGC president on with us, on with me, on my show. Great guy, obviously. And they're doing things right. Mm-hmm. Will they ever overtake PSA?
No.
Not likely, but doesn't mean they can't be a great number two.
I would argue they are number two now in the hobby.
Oh, 100% they are. I totally agree with that. They can stay that. That's my point. Like, yep. There's no one really coming up on them that's endangering that status.
Their site's great. Their turnaround time is great.
Obviously, customer service. I've heard raves about customer service from them, which is good. That's what you want.
Yeah. And I'll tell you this too. When you look at the analytics, like their values are going up too. So it actually makes sense to go to SGC when you start comparing the values, especially against BGS and anybody else, hybrid or whatever it may be.
And you got to, if you're doing PSA, you got to think cost of waiting, right?
Yeah.
Like that, the time value of money has to matter when you get the returns from SGC so much faster.
Great points, right? As usual.
Yep. Try to.
All right. Well, that concludes episode one of On the Fly with Mike and Ty. It's been a pleasure.
We need to get some famous person to do our intro.
Yeah, we do. We do.
Too bad we don't know any famous people. But hey, thanks for watching our first episode. We'll see you guys next week.
On the Fly.
On the Fly with Mike and Ty.
Thank you. That sounded better.